Okay, now I'm turned on. Okay, can everyone hear me okay? No, not yet. I can't. I have to touch it. Well, how's that? Is that better? Okay. All right. Okay. This is sort of going to be a little bit of an advanced course. It's not going to, because we're going to jump into a lot of different things. Bear with me. Okay. All right. First of all, what we're working on this weekend, one of the things we're working on is how to take what we're building in our mind and make it real in the life that we have in our world, in our paradigm even. But in order to do that, we have to more or less open up our paradigm. And so the first thing I wanted to mention is that, as some of you know already, the paradigm that we hold on to right now, that we have at the moment, at this moment, at 3:35 in the afternoon, is simply a habit that we've built, a habit of how we think. That is the definition of a paradigm. It's a habit of thinking. We've latched on to this habit of how we think, and we've decided that this habit is what we're going to stick to. This is our paradigm. This is our little... This is where we're going to believe. And so we come to these retreats to help us make this a little bit more permeable so that we can escape every once in a while to a little bit larger boxes. But no matter where we go, that paradigm that we have is always going to be a habit. It's always going to be smaller than reality. We're always going to believe until we become the complete infinite being that we are destined to become. Our paradigm is still always going to be insufficient. And so, this habit, the habit we're trying to get into, is really the habit of letting go of our habits. So, in our minds, many of you already know this, there's never one thing going on at any one time. We have countless thoughts going on. A friend of mine once asked me to read her mind and tell her what she was thinking. Well, I named off 7 things right off. And she was thinking all of those things at the same time. There may be one thing that's primary, but all these other parts that were going on at the same time. And the reason this is because our mind, our consciousness, we are used to thinking of our mind as being where we are thinking on our day-to-day level. And this is a useful mind to have. It exists about right in here. I use this symbol, what looks like a figure eight. It's actually a sideways infinity symbol. But I use that to show and symbolize consciousness in itself as on a two-dimensional drawing. And the sideways symbol of the infinity is actually useful in this case. Here we are on a day-to-day level. We pay our bills right here. We decide what we're going to eat for lunch. We decide whether or not we're going to pray. We talk about meditation. We study our books. This is where we spend a lot of time. When we go to sleep, we tend to move into that realm.
This realm, being what we call the superconscious,
this realm being what we call the subconscious. Now they're actually first paradigm shift. There's only one consciousness. There's no such thing as a superconsciousness that we have. We don't have a superconsciousness. We don't have a subconsciousness. Okay, now that you got that down, what I'm saying is that we are our own superconsciousness. We are our own subconscious. When we vibrate through meditation, through prayer, at the higher level of vibration, when we raise our vibrations, we are becoming our superconscious. We are in the level of superconsciousness. We are expressing our superconsciousness. When we're demonstrating and working through issues and problems and any kind of troubles that we conflicts, inner conflicts that we're going on, we are our subconscious. We are demonstrating. We may not necessarily be able to spell out the whole thing, but we are becoming our subconscious. We are vibrating at that level. We are lowering our vibration into those areas where that conflict is. And we are conscious of what we call the subconscious, but what in fact we are is we are demonstrating our subconscious. And so we don't have a subconscious. We demonstrate our conflicts. So this is a different way of thinking about this. The reason I introduced this way of thinking about it is because because as we work on ourselves, we're not just venturing into different parts of us. We're not going somewhere. We're really starting to make our subconscious conscious. We're starting to make our superconscious conscious. And so this process is more one of opening up to where our consciousness is becoming one. We are, as we venture into rebalancing the issues that we have inside of us, as we reconnect with those parts of us that we have shunted away, as we return to deal with the issues that we've hidden away from ourselves, as we bring those parts of us back into awareness with the guidance and help of our higher levels, when we're at a higher level. We are at a higher level in this weekend. And so we are able to bring these parts of us together. And in doing so, slowly recognize that our consciousness is one consciousness. When we are working on this stuff, we are bringing our super and our subconscious together to bring about that healing. We are bringing our God self and our conflicts together to reintegrate and to become aware of the oneness of where we're at. Does that make sense so far? Okay. Then this is a new paradigm, a new way of thinking about ourselves. Now, the current models of psychology saying there's a subconscious and there's a superconscious is fine. And it's brought us a long way. But if we're going to think that there are three separate parts to us, then we're not necessarily going to get the sense that and become aware of the process of where we go from three to one. Now, there are a number of, as our speaker this weekend has mentioned, there are a number of ways where we tell ourselves things. We once again, mind is the builder, and we many, many, many times will tell ourselves where we want to go by the different comments we say. I mean, by that I mean, how many times have we said, I have these aches and pains because I'm old? Or how many times have we said, I'm tired? Or how many times have we said, I don't know? All of those are our mind telling us what we're going to decide in our paradigm. Therein is the habit of thinking. Thinking that I'm tired. Many, many times we could have plenty of energy, but we desire not to work anymore, and so we're going to say, I'm tired, and therefore we're going to be tired. Many times we'll have questions about this and that, and I don't know what the answer is. Well, I don't know. And as long as we continue to say that, we're telling ourselves, I am not going to look for the answer. Because the answer is inside of us. Saying I don't know is one of the biggest lies we tell ourselves. Yes. Go ahead. Yeah. Yes. Real quick. There is no time that exists that we are not this. Remember the figure eight drawing? We exist. We are all things always. And when we tell ourselves, I don't know, we are creating that separation from, we create the consciousness of the day-to-day consciousness again, and we're saying, I don't know what's down here. I don't know the answer. Infinite answers exist in the oneness. Infinite answers. There's no answer that is unavailable to us at any time. The challenge is for us to find the answer. At no time does God or the infinite ever deny us anything. However, because the purpose is for us to gain and grow in the awareness of this oneness, the challenge is then put to us to do what is needed to be done to find the answer, to gain the answer. I once asked, I had a question about whether I should move or not. And I went to meditation and I asked, how long do I need to meditate to get this answer? And I got the feeling, the sense, 15 and a half hours. Well, I sat there for 15 and a half hours and meditated for 15 and a half hours. It went from 12 o'clock noon until about 3:30 in the morning. And I had to move around a little bit. I had to go to the bathroom once or twice, but I meditated and I got my answer. And so it's a question of what are we willing to do to gain the answer that we're seeking at that moment. Many, many, many times I've struggled with my friends, when they've come to me and said, I just can't do this. Well, Edgar Casey himself said, change the word can't to won't, and you'll have a true statement. And it's simply, whether we can do something or whether we can't do something is totally irrelevant. It means nothing to anything. But the question is always going to be whether we're willing to do it or whether we're not willing to do it. Are we willing to reverse aging? The question is, it's available. Are we willing to do it? There are, first of all, I'll say that there's probably countless numbers of reasons why we don't. The question is always going to be, are we willing to do it? A friend of mine died of lung cancer a couple of years ago, and her mother struggled with trying to do everything possible to help her heal, and believing that, and it was possible. But the daughter, the friend of mine who died, she was intending to die. And so she took the steps to die, not to stay alive. She had purpose for her to die, not to stay alive.
Did she die from her contract, or did she make up her mind?
She was intending to die at this level. Super, well, we'll call it super consciously, but she was not aware of consciousness. So she halfway would do what her mother said, and sometimes would not do what her mother said, all the time being guided by this. Now, she was not necessarily working on herself, so the superconscious was available for me to see, but not necessarily coming forth. And I talked to her mother about this and told her what was going on. Her reason for this, for her to die, was to help her children, and her children would benefit on their soul development from her dying more than if she stayed alive. And there were reasons for that as well. So even though she was not in this state, there was more going on. And so the question is, what are we willing to do and what are we not willing to do? It will always be that. Not, I can't grow younger, but rather I'm not willing to do that because that's not the direction I'm going. Does that make sense?
Wait till you get older. And then we'll hear this.
Well, I might be around then.
If you choose to be.
If I choose to be.
So are you moving or not moving?
You'll know. Okay. Yes, Joan.
I don't know if you want to answer this or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But doesn't it help to be grounded?
Because we're in the earth. Okay, the question is, what can help us be grounded, and isn't it helpful to be to work at being more grounded? So,
well, to be in the oneness if you're grounded.
Okay, to be in the oneness when we're grounded. Because we're in the earth, I'm gonna answer that in a different way.
And
yes, yeah, it'll be very useful now. Peggy, I need you to help me. Okay, jump up and down. Okay, let's stop. Okay, now, oops. Now, jump up and down. Okay, this process that you just saw was death. And I'm going to explain to you why I'm saying that. Our ability,
death.
Yes, and I'll tell death.
A-T-H,
and the groundedness. And so I'll explain why I'm saying that. Thank you, Peggy. Our process of leaving the planet is going to another higher vibration. our process of death, is leaving this flesh matter, flesh stuff, and rising to a higher vibration. Although it's not actually rising. When I held her down, I demonstrated the force of consciousness that holds us in our body. We call it a silver cord, but it's not silver and it's not a cord. It's a factor inside consciousness, God consciousness, holding us in place, holding us to this earth. Because God did not hold us into this earth, we would bounce up like a cork on water, like anything that just, you know, down in the base of the lake, just shoots straight up out to the top. Because we would resonate to our natural vibration, and our natural vibration isn't physical matter. The groundedness comes when we are being held in place. There are a lot of mechanics to it, but the process is basically when we're holding in place and we're not trying to jump. We're not trying to leave our body. We're basically willing to be present here in more than just this much. Groundedness is when we're willing to increase how much of us is present here in the physical plane. By what we're doing here, the more we allow ourselves, what I call again the subconscious, which is, it still is a useful term even to me, the more we get in touch with that, the more we integrate ourselves, the more we are grounded in the earth. The groundedness process is basically the same thing as the integration process of both the higher vibration consciousness and our lower vibration consciousness. That is the groundedness process. Now we will momentarily ground ourselves, because in that moment we're willing to not try to get out of this earth. So in that, we take whatever is available to us, whatever, wherever we are, and we say, I'm not going to jump out of the earth right now, or jump out of this body. I'm not going to try to leave this plane. Whoever I am is going to be right here at this level of vibration. Does that make sense? Okay. I don't know. I hope so. Otherwise, it's just going to be me. All right. I did say that. Because I wasn't willing to go to get the answer. There's a couple. Yeah. The process of integration of our consciousness, that the parts that we push away, those are the parts that we're trying to integrate. And when we are grounded, we are holding on to as much as we can. The process of grounding, though, increases as we continue working on ourselves. So it's not a one-time thing. We're grounded and that's it. Or it's not when we ground that we're grounded for with all of us or not. It's grounding is a journey in itself as well. And we are more grounded as time goes on. That means that we are connected to this plane, this body. And we are in that body. We're vibrating, willing to vibrate at this level of material, of the material plane. Peggy?
For me, that grounding is a way of holding on to the earth in a manner that lets you remove the rest of the boundaries. So you're sending a connection into the earth that holds you here without having to consciously adapt to being in the human vibration. So So for me, when you ground into the earth, it allows you to release all the other boundaries so that you can expand.
Mm-hmm.
Still be
right.
The earth.
Yes. And I would agree with that, because in that process, there is a willingness to be connected to the earth, a willingness to be at this plane, a willingness to be present. Okay. Yes, questions, comments?
I know somebody who's grounded and they walk, you know, but when it's shaved, they have a walk about them.
There could be no doubt there are many ways. I mean, that in itself is their process of planting themselves and keeping in the plane.
I don't know if they do it on purpose or not, but I noticed that.
Okay.
Some kind of cord or something. And that grounded them.
Cord?
Yeah.
Like a cord?
And I had a round thing.
She's saying she knew of someone who was grounded, and they had a cord of some type that helped to ground them.
Yes.
Do you know what that was?
Not for sure.
Okay. What?
And it was grounded to the earth somehow.
Okay.
And then I had an experience with
it. Okay. Well, Was it an actual physical cord that they were tying themselves down to? Okay.
They weren't trying to tell us.
Okay.
A
grounding cord.
How they grounded them.
Okay.
Have you heard that autistic children aren't quite in their bodies?
Oh, that's true. But then non-autistic children sometimes aren't in their bodies.
Well,
and sometimes we're not in our body. Except that's not actually a correct phrase. That's a term that we use to describe that experience. But there is no such thing as not being in your body. Welcome to a new paradigm. Okay, let me explain that one. We exist at a vibration level. When our body exists at a vibration level. We, our spirit part of us, when we are born, and that aspect of God consciousness holds us in place, like we did with Peggy, and God is very conscious that He's holding us here, so that we, because there's great purpose in doing that. We are in a physical, you know. I'm going to change this too. We are in an experience of a lower vibration, and we call that a body. There's actually no such thing as physical matter. But there is low vibration energy. And that low vibration energy has physics laws that allow us to experience it as being solid. And so we're vibrating at this level that creates what we call a physical world. That matter itself is simply energy vibrating at a low frequency. That's where we're at. And so when we're not in a body, we're vibrating at a little bit higher level. And so with the help of God, God consciousness, that factor that we symbolically label as a silver cord, which is actually the consciousness of God holding us in place, like literally, like how I did with Peggy, we are then held in place at this level. And so, say again?
A rock is down at the bottom.
Well, there are realms down here, let me tell you. So the process of not being in our body really is still being tied here, but having our consciousness go up to higher levels. And because we're tied to the body, most of the time it's kind of a blend of where we're at. So we're not in our body. We're not really means that a part of our consciousness, a part of our awareness, is vibrating at a little bit higher level in a different realm. It's not necessarily a healthy thing, because the issues that we're dealing with are down here. The family members, the relationships, the inner turmoils, all of those are easily dealt with here and have had purpose in dealing with them here. But here we are vibrating at a little bit higher level in order to, well, not just, for many reasons, of course, but for the example of trying to leave our body, it's in order to try to avoid dealing with, you know, the conflicts and turmoils. That's not the only reason. In meditation, we do the same thing. We raise our consciousness to this higher level, and what that meditation, because we bring in the highest of conscious of energy levels, we're able to literally raise this up rather than leave the body. We're able to, because we are grounded in the body, when we allow the Christ energy to come in and blend with it, we are literally raising this up rather than leaving it. Now, when we go to sleep, we are in effect doing a little bit of the opposite. We are again raising our consciousness vibration up and allowing the physical body to stay where it's at.
Well, isn't it good to raise our vibration for some point to help resolve the problem?
Absolutely. Yes. In fact, that is, yes, but the way we do that is, as in prayer and meditation, we are connected to the highest level of vibration, which allows the whole process, the whole part of our consciousness, to rise up, to change its vibration. Does that make sense? Are you understanding that? Like a symphony, an orchestra, you're going to have a blending of vibrations creating the effect rather than just staying with a few instruments that are out of tune. Okay. Now, where are we? Where is everybody? Okay. Where are you? How's everybody doing with following me? Okay. Yes, Joan.
When people pass and go to the other side, it seems to me, because I still ask the questions to learn, but it seems to me that they're all in one and one is all. They're like, they're up there.
Mm-hmm.
But they can come back down and talk to people.
Sure.
But they wouldn't think of doing that when they were here.
She's saying people on the other side, they can talk to the people, they can come back and but they wouldn't necessarily think of doing that when they're here.
Uh-huh.
Working out issues when they're here, but they may do it. Is that what you mean?
Talking to Mel.
Okay, so contacting with the people that are still in physical body. Okay, well there's a number of guidelines with that. But in the process of dying, first of all, I'll go into this. Welcome to a new paradigm and with death. The process of dying, we don't go anywhere. Because there's nowhere to go. There is no location aspect of life except at this level. So when we die, we exist in this presence.
You mean our body?
No. When we disconnect from, when God releases that and we bounce back up to our vibration, we're in effect removing ourselves from the factor of forward, backward, left, right, up and down. There's no such thing at that point. And so that there's no such thing as location. So where we go is really just a higher vibration existing in the here and now. It's because we're vibrating at the earth level and they're vibrating at a higher level, we don't see that. We don't experience them. Except when we open up to the higher level. It is possible to see them in meditation and dreams because we are opening up to the higher levels and they can then connect with us because we're looking up at a level where they're at.
How is that saying different from dimensions?
Dimensions. Boy.
Dimensions.
Well, dimensions.
It's like time, space.
Yes.
Yeah, that's dimension.
Oh boy. Okay.
Did you think of something different?
Well, actually, it ties in. Okay, let's see if I can explain dimensions in 60 words or less, or 60 days or less. Okay. Dimensions are also a state of consciousness. And so, and dimensions have a certain vibration. Okay, so here we are in this earth plane, in this dimension, vibrating at this vibration. And here is another soul over here, vibrating at a different vibration level. And they call that dimension two. And here's another soul over here, vibrating at a different level, and he's calling that dimension three. And on and on and on and on. The interest, that's very elementary explanation of dimensions. It's simply a matter of vibrations.
Right. So when you're talking about moving into a higher vibration when you die, that could be another dimension.
It could be another dimension. It depends on the individual, what they're opening up to. But in all instances, wherever that dimensional vibration is, whatever the level is, when that person dies, they're going to be disconnected from that lower level and they will rise to their natural level of vibration. And it's called rising, but it's actually they will return to that vibration. It's more a return rather than a rising.
Different vibrations.
Everybody has different vibrations. And to some degree, the 6 billion people on this planet right now, 7 billion now, have agreed to vibrate to this level at this vibration. Now there are 7.3 billion people in another dimension that have agreed to vibrate at that level. And there's another 8 billion at another dimension that have agreed to that to vibrate at that level. And all these different Earths and all these different solar systems and all these different systems are going on and they're all vibrating at different levels. We call that different dimensions. Does that help any? Welcome to a new paradigm. Our choice. What determines our vibration is our choices. Surely you personally chose to come into this realm, this vibration, this plane, number one, because you've got friends here and you know that love is one of the greatest things to be drawn towards because that's ourself. And so you chose to participate in a realm where your friends are and you wanted to be together, and that's, you know, a lot of us did. So does that help? Okay.
No, I wonder, does intelligence or education...
All of those, yes.
All of that,
yes.
Determines where you vibrate.
Absolutely. Because there's a lot of choices. It's not given to us. It is chosen. The vibration level that we have is chosen. We choose it. We choose it through our behaviors, thoughts, feelings, emotions, motivations. We choose it through every movement and motivation we have from a soul level. We choose our vibrations. Everything, we were given the gift of free will, and we use it. Yes?
Can you exist at two different
vibrations levels? You can come back and forth, yes. In fact, right. 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 In the same way that Peggy existed when she was jumping up and down, she was disconnected from the earth for a half a second. And so she experienced what it's like to levitate for a half a second. Basically what that is we can make jumps in vibration. And in the death experience, we're allowed to make that jump. Near-death experiences, we're allowed to go up and come back down. For our purpose. There's a great purpose to that. And, we're doing it now because our minds are open to the possibilities of the truth of this. If you had done it 300 years ago, you'd probably been put to death, burned at the stake. And some people were.
What about when you see ghosts?
Ah, yes, ghosts. Well, yes. Now we're getting into some stuff, and at some point I'll probably talk about applying what we learned. Okay. Ghosts. Again, we have people who are no longer held to their physical body, but have become so accustomed to vibrating at that level that they don't necessarily rise that much. There could be many reasons why. One of them that I know is fear. Fear of rising to a higher level. Fear of going into the light. Fear of connecting to that which is beyond. And again, God gave us free will. He's not going to force us to do anything. We can stay. We can make choices like this the last eternity. We can hold on to our fear for eternity. If that's what we can hold on to our attachment, we can attach ourselves to anything for eternity if we so will it, if we choose that. I don't like the idea of spending eternity like that. Of course, that's eternity in the past or in the future, which doesn't exist because everything exists now. Welcome to the new paradigm.
Is it our advantage to strive for a higher vibration?
It is to our advantage to reacquaint ourselves with ourself. In doing that, by reintegrating ourselves, that we've, the painful parts of ourselves many times, the child parts of ourselves, we, with the help of our higher self, because we can never heal something at the level the problem was created, our higher self, which guides us always in this process and is patient unto infinitely patient, and we'll wait for eternity until we decide to heal ourselves. It is from this way that we raise our vibrations. Conflict creates lower vibrations. peace. Why does it create lower vibration? Because we're, and this is a metaphor, we're running around in circles trying to get away from ourselves. And in doing that, like a marble going around on the roulette wheel, we're not going to find our center until we start slowing down, until we let go of whatever is motivating us to run around in circles. And like a funnel, and a marble running around in that funnel, as we start slowing down, that marble will find its center. And that process, and in that center, when we connect to that center, in being still and through prayer, whatever healing methods are there, that center is where we connect again with the higher self, for lack of a better word. Our self at the higher level.
That's why I tell you to center yourself.
Yes. And
our vibrations connected with our energy level?
Yes. The well, repeat after me. I have great vibration.
Great.
There you go. Remember the woman who said, "My brain is smaller." Well,
I think it's the other way. I'm older, my brain should be bigger.
It is.
Right.
If you could see what I could see, you'd be amazed. And you can. Shirley is in my study group, so I've had a wonderful time to get to know Shirley, and Marlene and Peggy are in my study group, and Adele is in my study group too, so we've had a wonderful time getting to know these people. Well, we're way off. Okay. Okay, I want to finish her question first, and then, okay. In the process of reintegrating ourselves, in the process of going into what we have called so far the subconscious, in the process of bringing forth our conflicts inside, with the help of the higher vibration part of ourself, with the help of our higher vibrations, bringing peace to that, we then resonate at the higher levels. The blending of the higher and the lower, when they mix together, raises the lower vibration so that it no longer is vibrating so in that lower level, and the total entity then is then vibrating totally, vibrating at a slightly higher level. So each time we heal an aspect of ourselves, each time we reintegrate some aspect that we've kind of pushed down, we are then vibrating, taking that lower vibration and raising it up.
Stress
can lower our vibrations as well, because there's a conflict going on. And so, the processes, the techniques we use, the procedures we use, meditation, prayer, all the psychoanalysis, dream work, you name it, vitamins, all of these help us to deal with ourself at the lower vibration in order to help ourself at a higher to vibrate then at a higher vibration. Each method that exists is a method that has come out of the consciousness of God. There's no healing method that exists that does not come from the consciousness of God, and therefore has a purpose under the sun. Did I answer questions? Okay, Joan. You have another question, Joan.
Well, you said if we knew what you did,
okay.
Would you be willing to share something?
Well, in this case, what I was talking to Shirley about was that I see her energy, and it's just tremendous. I see a wonderful, loving energy in with her, and she jokes about it at times because she comes from a Baptist background. And I'm kidding, and I'm teasing her about it. Her energy is just a wonderful. I'm joking about her Baptist. She was Me, I'm Catholic this life, Jewish. Let's see what else. Atlantean, you know, whatever. And so we come from a certain paradigm. And when we're ready, Shirley's just an easy example for me to use, because she had a paradigm during her a part of her life, as did many of us. We came to the Edgar Cayce material, our paradigm kind of expanded. We started allowing some air to come in, and it started growing. Our awareness began to gain. We became more aware of that which was beyond our paradigm, outside our box, and we're doing some more today. I'm not sure if I answered your question or not. I'm sorry, but in this case, okay, yeah, in this case, yes. Well, what I was referring to was my being able to see Shirley's energy, because we all have doubts about who we are and how well we're doing, or whether or not we're smart or not smart, pretty or not pretty. Oh yeah, everybody has that, and I will say that all of us see that. It's just the question is, are we willing to take the steps to make it conscious? We are, because we are still dealing with conflicts, even about ourselves, we're still making decisions about what we're going to demonstrate and what we're not going to demonstrate. I'm willing to see colors and energy and psyches and past lives and future lives, and I'm willing to do that. But some people aren't, because it's not necessarily a 100% enjoyable experience. And it takes work to do that. It also takes a willingness to work on letting go of any kind of judgment that I see. And I have to work at that. My study group will attest to that. I have to work on myself. I have issues to deal with about being clairvoyant. Wimberley Seguin. Where do we meet? Wimberley Seguin, Blanco, Dripping Springs. That's where our study group meets. We go from house to house to house to house. And I could tell you many things about that experience too. I'm sorry?
I live in Lockhart.
Yeah, you live in Lockhart. Okay, another question. Sure.
You said that we're not willing to do something, like see
something,
need to see colors. What about someone who's colorblind?
Do
you have to be, or she
have to be, because they're not willing to see the colors? Not necessarily. They may be colorblind. I mean, any kind of disease or any kind of malady, it could be because they're willing to take on this experience in order to face the challenges that can help them change their consciousness. So it's not necessarily that he's not willing to see color, but he's willing to take on that colorblind experience in order to learn something. I mean, that is the purpose of why that God consciousness is holding us down here, because we have that purpose. And we are willing to come in and try to change ourselves. By change, I mean expand our awareness of the truth, so to speak. Expand our awareness of our oneness. Yes, in the back.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on what
We can make plenty of choices right here. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be gone. I don't want to come back anymore. Have you heard that? Anybody say, this is my last life. I'm not coming back anymore. We can make plenty of choices right here. But this doesn't rule this or this. This makes choices, and this makes part of us makes choices. And here we are making three different choices. And what happens when you have a committee to try and decide something? So at any time, we're making all kinds of choices. I'm going to go in that direction. Or maybe that direction. I'm also going to go in that direction and this direction. All at once. So that's basically what's going on. Even though we want to make choices at this level, it is only when we start integrating all of it that we start making real, valid choices. And that happens, that's why it happens most often in between lives and during sleep, when we make choices, because we're in touch with more of ourself in those situations, or during meditation even. Does that help answer your question? Okay. All right. Say again. That is a way of applying ourselves. And basically what we're talking about is, as we apply what we learn, it becomes real. As we apply everything I've told you that, as we apply or try to apply or look for ways to apply the new paradigms that we're coming into, they will become real. They will start manifesting. As we apply an understanding that our loved ones who have died haven't gone anywhere, they're simply vibrating at a higher level of vibration, and we're just not hearing it or seeing it, hearing them in the same way that light has higher vibrations and light has lower vibrations. Sound has higher vibrations that we don't hear. Sound has lower vibrations. Vibrations are everywhere. So as when we start learning about new ways of thinking in this oneness of existence and start trying to apply them or look for ways to apply them, they start manifesting and becoming real. I took this outside in a little experiment. And I decided I wanted to levitate, so I started out in the yard. And I knew my will was there. And then as I was doing that over and over and over, of course, no one was around to see me. So I felt safe. I realized what I was working towards was not necessarily trying to levitate my physical body, but trying to allow my spirit to leave this level to go to a higher vibration level. In effect, what I was looking for, the reason I was motivated to try this levitation, what I thought I was going for was physical levitation, was really an effort to try to raise my vibration level. Does that make sense? Oh, the other night.
Really?
Yeah. And so I realized the way to do that is through meditation. I already have a way of levitating. It's called meditation. And so the idea of physically levitating to me didn't really draw me in. It doesn't really draw me anymore. I mean, it's kind of a neat thing to do, but, you know, that's not really what I was really desiring, not really what I was really wanting. You know, it'd be a nice trick, but it wouldn't respond to the desire of my soul. And I realized, again, well, meditation would, though. And I would venture a guess. Part of the reason is because I haven't been all that persistent in my meditations. Although I'm sure the group thinks I meditate every single day, or maybe they don't. Okay, I've talked about this a little bit, but basically the foundation of all this is believing in a God that is infinite. And I'm using the word infinite here. And this is a new type of paradigm as well. This can be, because we don't really understand the word infinite. We think, well, we believe in God infinite, that's infinite, but we don't necessarily believe in a God that's infinite. Because we don't necessarily understand what that means. We think we live in a physical realm, and then we go to a spiritual realm when we're finished. But if we think, if we believe in a God that's infinite, that includes the physical realm, which means that everything that exists is God consciousness. And, I mean, here we are, an example of God consciousness. There you go. That's God consciousness right there. But we, we're going to that. All right. But we're not necessarily, and as Judith has reminded me, you know, when I told her that the refrigerator is also God consciousness, she reminded me that the ice maker wasn't. Mind is the builder. But God consciousness, if God is infinite, if we believe in a God that's infinite, then God exists everywhere. Everything we see is God. And if we start understanding in this paradigm that everything is vibration, including a styrofoam cup, and we'll take this styrofoam cup about 700 and somewhere around 780 years to disappear, then we'll understand a little bit about how long God consciousness can take to change things sometimes. Of course, we understand that dinosaurs live in the world, or dinosaur fossils live in the world, and the Earth itself is 4 billion years old, and everything has scientific laws that govern it. And if we still believe it, after all that, if we still believe in it, that God is infinite, then we understand the mind of God. We can understand a little bit more about the mind of God by seeing how God works, by taking this and creating the laws of physics that make styrofoam, and then the laws of physics that allow styrofoam to break down over 700 years. That tells us a little bit about God. God consciousness, because everything that exists at this level, even at this level, all this is God consciousness, and so we exist. And everything you see on those tables exists because God consciousness is vibrating and creating an environment for us to learn and become grow in our awareness of God consciousness. And so, if any of us can accept that this is God consciousness, well, that's a nice picture anyway. If this is God consciousness, then we're getting it. And the ice maker is God consciousness. We're getting it. Any questions about that so far? If roaches have God consciousness. Yes, they do. If we believe in an infinite consciousness of God, if we believe God is infinite, we sure do. And I will swat a mosquito just like that. The question is, are you feeling guilty about that? Therein is the issue you have to work on then. Swatting these things. I accept that I'm going to swat a mosquito. Or, well, the roaches I feed to chickens. And I have no qualms about that.
Catch them and feed them to the chickens?
Oh, well. A little secret. Chickens are faster than roaches. The chickens are faster than roaches. No, I don't put them in the kitchen. But I've never seen a chicken go so fast as one that was chasing a roach.
chickens will eat anything.
They love roaches. And when I was allowing the chickens to eat the roaches, my dad came and told me, "You are cruel. Those poor roaches."
Really?
I had no trouble with it. I have no guilt about it. But if we believe in a God that's infinite, where is God not then? Yeah. So where is God not? In the hearts of the 19 hijackers? Is God not there?
Even tornadoes are entities with their own agendas.
Even tornadoes are conscious, or have consciousness. Hurricanes have consciousness. Droughts have consciousness.
Let's kill this drought.
Can be done. We can give life to the weather and to the state, but we can't do the other.
If we all went outside, would we suck some moisture down here?
If all 7 billion of us did that, we could.
It's not that many in Texas.
I know. Be glad about that. That's a good point, a good segue here. We're talking about the drought, and I'm going to mention that the drought is a karmic drought. This is karma. And part of the reason we're having this drought is because this area of Texas at one time was faced with helping other areas or not helping them, and they chose not to help. And because of that process, that created in consciousness, in their consciousness and in ours, the message that it's okay not to have life.
And what happened in the 50s too? Is it that same consciousness?
Some of it, yeah.
Or is it
no,
different?
It's different, but yeah. Yeah, this is not happening now. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about thousands of years ago. Some of us were. Yeah. And remember, it's affecting millions of Texans. And there were there were hundreds of thousands that were here affecting that. So there were many that decided, we're not going to help. What we can do now is give life. Bring forth life. How do we do that? Prayer and meditation. Working on ourselves. The call was for life. And what are we now being denied? Water. Life. Because the mass consciousness said it's okay to not give life. And so the karmic energy, the pattern, was held in consciousness and is now the circumstances that come about where, okay, if it's okay not to give life, then you do not get life.
How long is this going?
It's a couple of years yet.
How quickly have
we given life? In the time that the first choice was, by helping those who were at war, by helping them to bring to not war. Does that make sense? And we did not. The call was to help raise the vibrations of other groups, and the mass chose not to, and so therefore sent out the message, it's okay not to help them. It's okay not to give them life. Well, it's not just 2,000 years ago. That's part of it. It's over a wide range of time, but it's more over a range of time, and it just happens that many of those people who helped to create that karmic message in the first place, that karmic creation, are now all together here in the state now. Does that make sense?
What about the flood?
Same thing. There's imbalances going on. There's There are other karmic patterns being responded to. Yeah, there's a number of different karmic patterns that are being responded to or being manifested here.
How much does this have to do with non-attachment? Because you'll see parts
not specifically.
And it's around, all around, and it's burned, but this place isn't.
Well, you're going to see a lot of individual karmas being manifested as well. Now, karma is not necessarily a balance scale. Karma is creation. I mean, if we believe in an infinite God, there's life. The life principle exists in the principle of karma. It's life. Life is creating. When we send out create an experience for ourselves or for others, we are creating. We are taking the life force and creating. We are creating an experience. And with that creation, within that life, then comes the desire to fulfill itself. That life creation desires, because God is infinite and God consciousness is in that, and the life principle is in that, that karmic, that experience seeks to fulfill itself, become aware of itself. And it does that when it finds the correct circumstances and then can manifest. And the individuals who are participating in, who create that, have that as part of their consciousness. And you can picture, if you want to picture consciousness as a ball, it's part of their ball that they are. And that pattern is in their consciousness, and so they are set, or we are, when we do that, we are set, we are saying to the universe, this pattern is in me, therefore I'm opening a space for it to happen. And it can happen back to us, because we've created that, sent it out, had that pattern as part of who we are, and because the opposite side of it is part of the experience as well, that opposite side is part of us, and then we have other souls out there who are willing to participate in manifesting that consciousness pattern that we call karma, and we call it attack on the World Trade Center.
It's not all negative either. Karma's not all negative.
Karma is simply the name we give to what we create.
Yeah.
Now, another paradigm here, karma is a tomato plant, not a balancing beam. We plant seeds. We create seeds. We send it out into consciousness. And with that seed has a DNA. And so, but yet it surprises us when it provides fruit. And I've mentioned this before, the World Trade Center attack was karmic. The attacks Atlantis did on the Middle East attacks on Atlantis, on Atlanteans, not necessarily Atlantis, but Atlanteans. Not specifically. Atlantis with related to the World Trade Center was the continent that was still above water. And
what about what's going on in the Middle East? Is there's this fight for democracy, so
to
say. Is that a karmic, or is that just a time? It's time for that now.
It's a whole blend of stuff. The question is, the experience is going on in the Middle East right now, are they karmic, or are they... Is it just time for it to happen? Number one, the circumstances that allow the karmic creations to become manifest, those seeds, that fruit to be plucked, so to speak. And that's what it is. It's the the fulfillment of that tomato plant growing, actually it's tomatoes, possible, that poison ivy plant sometimes to grow to produce more poison ivy plants, but that part is part of it. It's fulfilling. The other part of it is that people are trying to work on their issues and they don't necessarily need to create more tomato plants or poison ivy plants, but some of them do. And some of us do. We still do it in our own daily lives. So what that is saying that every time we interrelate with a person, we are creating. I mean, the life, living life, is a constant creation going on. And it depends on our will, our desire, what we learn as to what we're going to create for other people. The final garden that we will have, not the final garden, the garden that we're growing from this expression of life, this creation of seeds and lives, this determines that which we create in the experiences of others is the garden that we will harvest. That's what we're creating for ourselves. What we create for others in this, we are creating for ourselves. Because what we create for others is part of our consciousness. And so the heaven or hell that we create for others is what we're building for ourselves. Because it becomes part of our own consciousness. And the pattern there allows for the manifestation of those patterns that we've created. I just spoke in circles there. But life is a big circle. I get a sense that I'm kind of speaking in circles here, so go ahead and speak up if something's not making sense to you. Or if I'm saying something that's confusing. You too, Peggy. Okay. What time is it? Okay, so we've got about 15 minutes. Okay. All right. I'm going to move on to... Now, applying what we've learned. We've learned so often from the beginning, we've learned that the fruits of the Spirit are some of the greatest things to practice, to apply in our life. And that the reason this is because if we believe in a God that is infinite, then what we're believing in also is infinite forgiveness, infinite patience, infinite love, infinite generosity, infinite mercy, infinite creativity, an infinite sense of humor, infinite joy, infinite encouragement, and an infinite number of other experiences. No one's ever asked me how many dimensions are there. And I would tell them, how many? Infinite. An infinite creative God creates infinitely. Infinite creativity creates infinitely. Now that's a new paradigm. And it also creates paradoxes. Paradoxes, oh, the paradoxes. What I tell people most of the time, I haven't mentioned in the group, a paradox a day keeps the paradox away. Haven't mentioned that in the group. Because I would look silly if I said that. So, let's close our eyes for a minute. And I'm going to take you into an infinite state. An infinite state that we've experienced so many times before.
Take several deep breaths. And in your mind, just repeat the words I say. I'm going to speak in the first person, so speak to yourself or let yourself hear yourself in the first person. I forgive. I forgive myself. I forgive us. I forgive God. I forgive love. I forgive people. I forgive Satan. I forgive all of us. I forgive all of us. And I forgive all of us. And I forgive all of us. I exist within the spirit of infinite forgiveness. And I forgive all of us. I live within the spirit of infinite forgiveness. I am one with the spirit of infinite forgiveness. I exist in all time, all eternity past, and all eternity present, because I am one with the Spirit of the infinite all. And I forgive all of us. And I am one with the Spirit of infinite forgiveness. Okay, you can slowly come back in. Did you feel anything when you said those things? Anybody? Did you? Peaceful? Did you feel anything?
Connected.
You felt connected? That's the process we're doing. Because when we forgive anybody, we're trying also to forgive ourselves. When we work at forgiving ourselves, we are also forgiving everyone else, including God, for any issues we may hold of Him. We may have to forgive Christ for any issues we may have of Him, or any of the other spiritual teachers or healers. But always it comes back to the fact that when we forgive, we're forgiving the whole. Or we can, at least.
Because when we apply that to this new paradigm of understanding, forgiving the whole takes us into many lives. We can forgive for one lifetime. Or we can forgive for 5 minutes. Or we can forgive for many lifetimes. Or we can forgive for eternity. All of these impact different levels inside of us. We can forgive at this level, or we can forgive at this level. They're different. And the question I would put to all of us, if we have any trouble with it, I'm going to back up and say this instead. When we forgive, whether it's ourself, others, or the whole, we are bringing God into that moment. And if we're forgiving somebody, we're bringing God into that person's life. Even if we're 10,000 miles away from them, we're bringing God into that person's life in some manner or way. Even if they're dead. Because the dead are not 10,000 miles away. And the question is then, who has forgiven us so much that here we are with God in our life this much? Who has forgiven us? And then that forgiveness has brought God into our lives so much.
That we're here.
Yes. Yes. Who has helped us through forgiving us? How much time have we got?
About 7 minutes.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments that people have? You have a serious look on your face. Do you have a question or comment?
Okay.
Yes.
You do something and I say, I forgive you for that. That's impossible. It means that I have misperceived your true identity, which is pure unconditional love. So I have judged you.
Mm-hmm.
How do I deal with the judgment?
With patience. Because in patience, we will then understand the entire package. We will understand the other person. We will understand ourselves.
Well, just knowing that your true identity is pure unconditional love, you can do no wrong to me. Mm-hmm. Don't have judged the wrong.
Ah, but the other person. Yes.
A misperception.
Sure. But you now understand that misperception. Yes. And with patience, you will learn all of that. And you will recognize, and I will recognize, in patience, we will make changes through our lives, through many, however, centuries or millennium. We will make changes and to grow to that point. We will both understand that the process of forgiveness is, well, while helping at our conscious.
There's nothing for me to forgive you for. It's forgiving myself for having judged you in the first place.
Yes, but remember, Jesus still forgave.
I'm outside myself.
Except I'm still struggling with what I've done to you. And so your act of forgiveness helps me to grow. But it impacts me because we're in relationship.
Yeah, because there's no progression.
Right. And so your forgiveness of me brings God into my life, and it brings healing there.
Well, it also affects every other human being with the same vibration.
Right. Right. And the paradox may be that we're saying, I forgive you, even though there's nothing to forgive, because we're still in process. That serves as a ladder to help us to become more aware of this process and more aware of the higher state that we're reaching towards. The fact is, because we're still in physical bodies, if we do that at this level, it's still useful. Because we're not at that whole level. We can understand
the illusion that we need forgiveness with, but the oh, okay. Well, we're talking about the illusion of forgiveness. In both of our consciousnesses, there is still the pattern of believing that forgiveness is useful and purposeful. And so it becomes useful and purposeful. Well, here's another one. Everything I've told you, as I've mentioned to Nadine, everything I've told you today is not true. How's that for a paradox? The reason? Because where we are today and what I just described is still a box. It is a paradigm because we human beings are not capable, and I mean we're not capable while we're in physical form, we're not capable of encompassing the infinite. And so our understanding is simply a model to help us understand God consciousness, which is infinite. How many is an infinite? Add one to that. Is it still infinite? Subtract one from that. Is it still infinite? Infinite is infinite. And so here we are in a three-dimensional world trying to understand how to pay the bills. And we're talking about concepts of infinite. But if you and I experienced infinite, it would blow us away. We would cease to exist. And so we can't. We're going to be. But because we're in human form, our minds yet cannot grasp and hold infinite. Our consciousness.
Our brains may be three-dimensional, so we don't have, but our minds and our
minds have, yes.
Is infinite, and we know that.
Sure. We know we're going to bat, which we don't understand. And exactly. So our language and our understanding are simply models for trying to understand the infinite God consciousness. And so even the model that I've described today, at some point, will have to be let go. It is, the reality is that we, because we still have all these things to work on, we're still busy. We've got things to deal with here. And so our minds are kind of, not our minds, not our consciousness. Our awareness of the totality is going to be small compared to the infinite. There's no getting around that. Because we have not integrated this fully, our awareness is going to be limited to some degree. No, not even after we die. Until we reach complete awareness of the infinite. After we die, we're still going to vibrate at the vibration level that we are natural at, but that's not necessarily at the infinite level. Possibly. If we choose to, yes. But we're still not going to be... Here's an example. Do you completely understand and know everything I told you today?
Oh, of course.
Absolutely. So, I presented it to introduce to you some things that are outside our box. Outside here. Outside our paradigm. Outside our understanding. Outside our understanding. And I presented it in order to let you know that the way we understand things
is not necessarily how things are. It's simply a way to understand it. And so the new paradigm, the new box, is that there's more outside the box. And there are things that we can hold. Mind is the builder again. We can hold in our consciousness that we're not holding in now. I mean, it would be easy for me to work, you know, on for the next how many years on learning how to levitate, jump in the air and stay there. That's not what I'm desiring. But, you know, it's possible. It's possible to learn how to walk on water. It's possible to learn how to change water into wine. It's possible to do many of these things. But the God that I want to know is the God of forgiveness, the God of mercy, the God of love, the God of kindness, the God of encouragement, the God of a sense of humor, the God of creativity. That's the God I want to know. Okay. So I'm not necessarily looking for the God of walking on water, or the God of trailers, or the God of grape juice. You know, it's...
So, could you stop by our room while you change that water into wine for us?
Which room are you in? So, but in the process of, and I'll finish it with this, in the process of learning a little bit about the God that I want, is simply by working on this and learning about the God that we have potential for, to know. The God of the infinite. I believe in a God of mercy. Others don't. Mercy. Infinite mercy. That's what I choose, and my will is to believe in a God of infinite mercy. And because I believe in that, within the infinite comes the capacity for that God to exist. Did that make sense in that?
It makes sense in your life.
Okay. Yeah. That's the God I want. I want the God of mercy. I want the God of forgiveness. I want the God of friendship and
love.
Compassion and love and study groups.
Outside of our box.
Yes.
It's a bigger box.
Outside of our box are
it's
many
bigger
boxes.
Box.
It's a bigger box and it's a bigger box. And as we grow, you know, you and I are familiar with the religion boxes. Baptist, Catholic. And then we learned about the Andrew Casey box. And as we learned from others, we're now learning about the infinite God box and all this stuff. So the new paradigm is sky's the limit. Mind is the builder. What we think can become. If we can think it, we can build it.
But you know, it's like a theory of relativity. When Newton was there, there was still the theory of relativity, but he didn't know it.
He didn't know it, right.
You know, so it's just like in all this string theory and all that stuff, it's still there. It was still there. Nobody had thought about it. I mean, it hadn't been revealed yet or whatever. But it probably was before, but then you go through the dark ages and you have to learn it all over again.
Yeah, right. Some of it, yeah. Yeah. When we take life and awareness away from others, we open up the statement saying it's okay to take more.
And, you know, they killed off everybody. Very good.
Thank you.
That's excellent.
Oh, good.
Is that all your study group?
Yeah.
No, you are too. Yeah. Are you the youngest one?